And it's a real privilege to be here today. Excited to be here, to be the invited guest when Dave's not here and his family. It's a great honor. It's a privilege to me. Abel's passing out some cards. I'll tell you what to do with those in a little while. Hope everyone needs a pen, or everyone should have a pen in their pocket, because that's what Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts do. If you don't have one, just tell your neighbor, hey, can I have a pen? And Jillian has a ton of pens. This is something we're going to do at the end of the message, so you don't have to worry about it until then. But I feel really impressed by God to give you this message today, and I believe it's going to help some people, maybe everyone. Maybe not everyone. But we're talking in Providence about moving mountains. And I wanted to share one of the messages from our series that we're doing. Talking about things that are impossible, that we think are impossible to move out of our lives. And I believe God wants to do that in his children's lives, to move mountains out of our way so we can continue on and progress onto where he wants us to be. The blessings, future that he has for us, the dreams that God has for us, he wants us to have. And he wants us to be able to trust him to move mountains. So we're going to talk about that today. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 17. I have my Bible in Spanish. It's probably not going to help a lot of you guys. Some of you maybe. So I'm just going to do a rough translation out of it. It kind of helps me to do that because kind of Matthew 17. No, it kind of helps to translate it because sometimes we rely on the religious words that we think the Bible says, and sometimes the translation just kind of breaks us out of that mold. But I'm going to translate it, interpret it. It's a story about a man whose son he's called a lunatic, or I don't know how else to say that. He's a lunatic, and according to the scripture, he's doing things that are very strange. But the Bible says in chapter 17, verse 14, when a lot of people came around Jesus, a man came before him and threw himself at his feet, bowing down before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son who is a lunatic. And he's suffering greatly because many times he falls into the fire and many times into the water. And I've taken him to your disciples, but they have not been able to heal him. Responding, Jesus says, oh, unbelieving generation and perverse generation, how long am I to be with you? How long do I have to, he actually in Spanish is just to support you. How long do I have to put up with this? Bring him here, Jesus says. In verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that very hour. Coming then to Jesus, his disciples took him apart and said to him, why weren't we able to cast it out? And Jesus said, because of your little faith. Truly I say to you, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will move. And nothing would be impossible for you. But this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've shown us a way to move mountains. We trust that you've given this scripture to us to teach us that the things that are great obstacles in our lives, don't have to impose upon us their will, but we have a God who's able to squash them, to move them, to melt them. We thank you, Jesus, that through your precious blood, we can come to God, the Father, and in prayer, move mountains. Help us today to see that and to believe that and then put it into practice. In the name of Jesus, amen. And let me ask you a question. In your life, if you could have any superpower, think of all the superheroes. Think of all of them. Wonder Woman has some amazing powers. Even if you're a guy, you might, you know, like to have something that she has. Think of all the superheroes. What superpower would you like to have for just one day? What superpower? Flight. Who else says flight? I would like to fly. Fly. Anybody else? Superpower. Oh, fast as the Flash. It's pretty amazing. That would be a great, because he could probably fly too, right? If he caught, I don't know, can he fly? Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Any other superpowers you'd like to have? Some that's not mentioned yet. X-ray vision, healing, the power to, yeah, that's a one of some super, some of the X-Men have that ability, right? Well, Jesus was kind of like a superhero, right? But he was actually a holy superhero, is God in the flesh. And I would like, I've always wanted to be able to fly, but I'm kind of glad God doesn't answer those kind of prayers, right? In a yes way. He doesn't give us the ability to fly. I mean, he could, but I don't know very many people that have. But sometimes we have mountains in our way, and we would like just a power to just crush them or move them. We would like to go into the problems in our lives and just fly over them, fly around them, get through them, speed them up, right? Get these mountains out of our way. I don't know what you're confronting today, what your struggle or stronghold is, what you're fighting against or what you're anxious about or what you're worried about. Could be a mountain in your relationships that are important to you. Maybe in your marriage you're struggling with a mountain, or a once solid friendship is kind of broken down and you're missing that person terribly. Maybe work-related. You may have a mountain at your job and you would like to continue to progress, and or things are so stressful that you can't separate work life from home life. Maybe you don't even have a job right now and you're out of work and that's a mountain. Maybe your mountain is financial and you're under a lot of financial stress. You're worried about how you're going to pay off debts, or you're concerned about how you're going to live when you're an old person. Maybe your mountain is physical. Some of you may have received a diagnosis recently. Frightening news from a doctor. Your mountain is a sickness. It could be a spiritual mountain. You may be questioning things that you used to just take for granted or totally believe, and now you're struggling to believe, struggling to understand God's will for your life, and you don't know how you're going to get around these mountains. Now, you're sitting here today and you're thinking, nope, I don't have any of those problems. Maybe your greatest concern is who's going to win the World Cup, that just finished. Maybe the World Series is coming up in October. Maybe that's your greatest concern, who's going to win, or the Super Bowl in January. Well, if that's you, maybe you should raise your hand so we can all just be in awe of your life. But for the rest of us, whatever that mountain may be for you, I get it. I understand. I have mountains too, and we all face them from time to time. Things that make us feel powerless. Mountains we can't seem to do anything about. I'm not talking about just a small problem. I'm thinking about there are things God wants us to confront through prayer that only He can take care of. So let me ask you again, do you have anything in your life right now that you are concerned about that is really big? Really big. So I'm going to follow up with that question with this question. Why is it that we don't pray about those things? Not have you prayed about it, but are you praying about it right now? Are you consistently working in prayer with God to see that mountain moved out of your way? Because if you're anything like me, you spend more time thinking about it, worrying about it, fretting about it, meditating about it. We meditate about our problems, right? The spiritual ones of us, we meditate. We don't worry. We meditate on our problems, right? Like, I've got this huge mountain, and I'm just going to think about it. Now, I know I can't worry about it, but I can think about it, right? And then it builds, the anxiety builds, and the pressure builds in the chest, and you start sweating, and you get nervous, and you get short with other people. If you're anything like me, that's what you do. Why is that? Why is it that when I'm facing something really big, I sweat and I fret and I get nervous and I get angry or frustrated? Why am I like that? If you're not like that, tell me your secret. Maybe you already know this message, like the back of your hand, and you could be up here teaching it. But I am one who struggles sometimes with worry, and why don't I just pray about it? I've prayed before. There are lots of reasons why we don't pray about it. One of them may be, I prayed about this thing before and nothing seemed to happen. I tried prayer. I tried and I prayed hard and often and still nothing happened. And I still didn't get the job. My friends still passed away. I prayed. I really did. It didn't seem to make a difference. And I'm sure that's probably going to be the case again. It just makes prayer really difficult. Or we think, I'm not sure. I really believe in prayer. Maybe you were a Cubs fan growing up, and yeah, until recently, those prayers were never heard, right? But seriously, prayer is mysterious. How can words I utter actually change anything, right? Or maybe deep down, we don't really believe God has the power to do anything about the mountains in our lives, or maybe we believe he has the power but not the will to do those things. If we don't believe our mountains matter to God, we won't go to him in prayer. Or perhaps we think God has more important things to do. Maybe you're thinking God's not too concerned about this. There's a war in Syria going on, right? There's refugees, millions of them crossing to Turkey right now, and there's a humanitarian crises everywhere around the world. There's problems and children and sex trades, and there's things that God's dealing with that are much greater than my mountain right now. And you think, well, I'm not going to bother God with this little thing, and it really is a big thing to you. Well, let me tell you, it's a big thing to God, because he loves you. He loves each one of us, and he cares about the mountains in our lives, or he wouldn't have brought me here to tell you about it, and he wouldn't have put it in the scriptures. Maybe you think your mountain-moving prayer isn't something that will ever happen to you either. I know Sam, at a celebration this year, told a story about a man who died in Baghdad recently, and a Christian went to him. Apparently, this man, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was killed because of his faith. And he went, another Christian went to the mortuary and prayed for him, and the man was raised from the dead. And we're working right now to try to help that family, help that man and his family right now. We want to see that be a testimony to the power of Jesus in Iraq, right? And maybe you've thought that kind of prayer only happens in places like Iraq or the Philippines or South America or places where people are poor and don't have any other options. Here we've got a Harvard Medical Center, and we've got, we've got like lots of good doctors and things. We don't trust God maybe for those prayers, but let me say this. Just because amazing things happen overseas doesn't mean that amazing things can't happen right here where we are. How many of you have actually received a miracle in your life? You've received, see this? There's mountains that have been moved. I can testify myself that for years I struggled with horrible pain in my back, and it was debilitating, and the doctor told me it would only get worse. It was a progressive degeneration in my spine that I was going to have pain for the rest of my life, and it kept me from enjoying things. I couldn't go walking around. I couldn't do a lot of things. Playing with my kids was very difficult. Going fishing was hard, and I love to go fishing. And one day, I was in church, and a young guy from Guatemala came to preach. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Celestino. He came from the church in Bridgeton, in Bridgeport. And the bridge is what I'm trying to say. I'm mixing up all the communities down there. He came from there, and he preached a message that God likes to heal people. And I'm like, yeah, but I've asked God to heal this, and he hasn't done it. Have you ever been there? Like, I've already asked, and he already knows, so why am I going to do this again? But when he came, and he just spoke this word of faith, saying, God sent me here to tell you that he wants to heal people today, it sparked faith in my heart, in my life. And I raised my hands, and God immediately took me to a place spiritually in my mind and my heart where I could see the hand of God drop from the heavens, grab a string out of my heart, and pull and pull and pull and pull. And then finally it came to became taut, and then he plucked it out. And then I was healed. My back has no pain anymore from that day on. That was a mountain of sickness in my life that only God could take care of. The doctor said there was no hope for it. The doctor says I was going to get worse, right? He said the mountain was going to get bigger and I was going to end up suffering more. And God says I can move mountains. And as I was praying for you guys today, I saw a picture in my mind of the hand of God, a big fist coming down to mountains in your lives and squashing him. Bam. And then I saw immediately another one where he says the mountains are like wax before me and the breath of God blew and just melted it away. My God not only can move mountains, he wants to move mountains, and he wants us to trust him for it. Amen. So let's talk about this story. This man came to Jesus one day. Imagine the pain and the hardness, the difficulty this man had experienced with a child he's calling a lunatic. He's just crazy. The kid is out of control. Anytime we get near a fire, he wants to throw himself into it. Anytime we get near water, he wants to drown himself. And this is going on and on and on. For many years, this man has suffered with this child who in any second could just die. So I'm sure the man is just constantly having to watch his son and never leave his presence. The man must be watching over his kid thinking, I can't take my eyes off of him. At night, they may have barricaded him into his bedroom or maybe even tied him up. Who knows what it was like to live with a child who you could not take your eyes off of, or he could die. And so he brings the child to the mountain mover, to the disciples of Jesus, and they're not able to heal him. Anyone ever been there? You're like, Pastor, come pray for me. I'm like, oh, great. You know, the pastor, they called the pastor. They believe they've called in the big guns, and I'm not the big guns. I mean, I know the big guns, but I'm not the big guns. And so when I come and I can't even get rid of a headache, I'm like, I do my best. You know, I just pray, and you feel that pressure. You want to pray the best prayer you can. You want Jesus to be glorified, and you want people's faith to be built up. But sometimes things don't happen like you pray for. Well, this happened with the disciples. They weren't able to cast out this evil spirit. Obviously, it was an evil spirit because Jesus then talks to the evil spirit, commands it to go. The evil spirit thing is a mystery for us. We in America, we don't see a lot of that. In our church, we see that often because people are involved in witchcraft in that community. The Latino community is very involved in witchcraft, so we see a lot of that there, but we don't see a lot of it among the general English-speaking population, I think because their demons are quieter. They're more reserved. I don't know. It's mysterious, right? Yet evil can easily work within any mountain. It may not be a demon, right? But evil can work around your mountains and dismay you, worry you, oppress you, speak to you, tell you that this is never moving, that this is the way things are, this is how it's got to be. Can only imagine the Father's relief when Jesus, with a simple word, speaks to the demon and makes him leave, and the child is completely healed. So the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Why weren't we able to heal him?" All of their efforts were unsuccessful, and Jesus replies this in Matthew 17:20, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So Jesus says, we have faith the size of a mustard seed. If you ever seen that, I believe we got a picture of one. Tiny, tiny seed. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. That's a huge promise. I didn't make that up. Jesus said it. So if you have a problem with that, talk to him about it. Because he just told them that they couldn't move the mountain because they had so little faith, right? And that was confusing to me because he just said a little faith will do it. But apparently their faith wasn't even that big, right? So he says you need just a little faith that big. If you truly believe, if you truly trust God for something, and then he adds, we're gonna add something to this in a bit, but faith isn't just positive thinking. It's not just I think I can believe. It is actually something that has a fountain. It comes from somewhere. Where does faith come from? The Bible tells us where faith comes from. Faith is what? The word of God. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. So when we hear God speak about our mountain, we can have faith for that to be moved, right? If we have not heard God about something, then it's going to be hard for us to believe for that. I mean, we can throw up prayers and we can throw them out, and we should. We can seek God for our mountains. But when we get a word from God, or when we read in the scriptures that we know this is God's will, then we can actually, with greater faith, come before God and cry out to him with confidence that our mountain can be moved and will be moved. He works through our faith. Faith isn't wishful thinking, wishful hoping. It's trust and confidence that God can do anything, even what we think is impossible. So our responsibility is to put our faith in him and to trust him and to allow him to accomplish what he wills. And it's prayer that gets us there. Prayer sets our faith in motion. In fact, in another perspective on this story, we find in Mark, when the disciples ask, "Why couldn't we drive out the demon?" Mark records Jesus as saying, "This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting." What's that about? Why do we need to pray and fast? Well, it isn't really about, Jillian has a big problem, but we can't really pray about it right now because we need to take about 2 weeks to pray and fast about it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I believe Jesus is talking about, you need to have an ongoing conversation with God and relationship with him to hear his voice, to know his will. And when the circumstance arises or we hit a mountain, we can speak with faith toward it. All right? So we're not going to stop and pray and fast over something because it came up, but we should have a lifestyle where we pray, seek God, know him, know his word, know what he says about things, know his perspective, and listen to his voice, and get faith for when something big comes up, we come against that mountain with the power of God and faith and prayer. Amen. We pray because prayer actually does move God. Why do we pray? We pray, first of all, because prayer actually does move God. Now, prayer doesn't change God, but it moves him. What's the difference? Well, we're tapping into God's will in prayer, and our faith, he says, is the vehicle he uses to get him where he wants to go. Isn't that interesting? He says that. James said it like this: you don't have something because you don't ask for it. Why is that? Because God uses our faith like a car to get somewhere. I mean, that's in a very limited sense, but he uses it as a means to work into an area. That's his decision. He decides that through prayer we're going to receive the things that we need. That's interesting to me. He's all powerful, and he does often work outside of prayer. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I'm saying there are many times we don't have what we want or think we need because we don't pray. Prayer is what gets us to where we need to go. It moves God. There's something else interesting about prayer. Before we get there, Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3 years. So if you don't think prayer is powerful, Hezekiah was about to die and cries out to God, gets 15 more years of life. Daniel prays in the lion's den and shuts the mouths of lions. Cornelius, a Roman soldier, prayed and sent up prayers before God, and now we're all sitting here. The Gentiles are sitting here in the family of God. If you don't believe prayer moves God, Jesus prayed and Lazarus walked out of a tomb. We know prayer moves God in some mysterious and profound way. Listen to what Ian Bounds writes. Prayer projects faith on God and God on the world. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. That's awesome. So prayer moves God, not my nervousness, not my anxiety. Prayer moves God. Now I want to go on to more significant ways prayer moves me. But let me tell you about this little tidbit of information. Did you know that prayer actually changes our own brain? Changes our health. It helps us. Now, just 12 minutes of meditation, meditative prayer, not mystical meditation, transcendental meditation, but prayer for meditation on God's word. 12 minutes a day may slow down the aging process. That's in this book. Check it out. Pretty cool. And not praying may be taking years off your life, so just think about that. But seriously, one of Jesus' closest followers believed so much in the power of prayer, he wrote this, 1 John 5, 14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's the key, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Awesome. John says our confidence comes in asking God according to his will. Over time, our faith-filled prayers will result in a sort of union with the Lord on our will and his will. And we begin to pray the things that God wants instead of, oh, God, I really need that BMW, God. And my neighbor's house is better than mine. I was admiring the shingles on some of the roofs on the way over here. Up VFW Parkway, you see the slate shingles. Those are really nice. Those slate shingles are better than the asphalt ones on my house, God. And the yard over here and the landscape. God, give me those things. Our prayers begin to change. They're not focused on silly things like shingles. They're focused on the mission of God in the world and our union with him. When we know him and we begin to unite with him, we learn how to ask according to his will. Did you ever ask God for a job and you're thankful that he didn't give it to you? You ever ask him for, for so-and-so to fall in love with you and you're so glad that person never did? So we sometimes ask God for things that really aren't that important. Listen to what Eugene Peterson writes. Only in prayer can we escape the distortions and constrictions of the self and enter the truth and expansiveness of God. That's awesome. So I'm going to give you a challenge today. This is how I'm closing. And this is why I gave you guys the sheet of paper. Do you remember the question in the beginning? Do you have anything in your life right now you're concerned about that's really big? Mountain size big? When you came in today and you got that piece of paper, just take it out, would you? Or when they passed it out. If you don't have one and you really want one, raise your hand. I'm sure there may be someone around you who could split their paper with you. Just take a moment with me, would you? And whatever that big mountain-sized thing is in your life, I want you to write a word or phrase or sentence describing it on both halves of this card. So you could fold your paper in half and just write on one side your mountain and write it again on the other side. Maybe it's a relational mountain, a work-related mountain, a financial mountain, a physical mountain, an immigration mountain, a spiritual mountain. Write it down. And here's the first part of what we're going to do. I want you to commit to praying for this big mountain, this big thing. Not just once, but commit to praying about it until it moves. Cry out to God. Listen to his voice. Hear what he wants done. For 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks. Give it 3 weeks. I want to challenge you to do that. Would you do that? Take 3 weeks and consistently, when you pray, when you call out to God, talk to him about that mountain. Instead of worrying about it, instead of fretting about it, instead of ruining your spouse's day about it, call out to God. What if it made a difference? Wouldn't you be happy that it moved? No one would say it's not worth it, and yet we don't often pray that persistently, do we? So we're going to help one another remember to pray every single day by writing it down, not once, but twice on this card and committing to pray about it every day. And now, if you want help from someone else around you to pray for that mountain to move, you can tear your paper in half and share one of those with someone you think might help you pray. Would you do that? Just tear that piece of paper right now. Remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sought out God's will before the crucifixion and said to God, "If you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And that through the next 3 weeks, we'll learn. Maybe we'll learn about what God's will is about that mountain, right? Just in prayer. Amen. If you would you stand with me, maybe get in little groups of three, have some music playing, and we're just going to pray over these mountains. We're not going to announce them out loud or anything. If you want to share it in your little group, that's fine. If you believe that would be helpful, that'd be good. But you know that if you have a mountain in your life, how much that has affected you. So why don't you take on your neighbor's heart right now and ask God for their mountain. If they share it with you, fine. If not, just generally pray over their mountain. And ask God to help them to trust in the power of prayer to move it. Amen? Can we do that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, look at the mountains that we see. Things that we think are so big. You in a second can melt them away. And not only can you do that, we know you will. Because you said you would. We have faith today. Because you brought this topic up through the Word of God, through the moving of your Spirit, to raise faith up in us, to believe that your hand is going to squash that mountain or move it completely out of the way. Your hot breath can melt it like wax. Oh God. So I keep hearing the word pancreas over and over and over. And I don't know, maybe someone here is sick with an organ right there in their body. But I'm going to pray about that mountain in the name of Jesus and tell it to go, to move in the name of Jesus. Father, extend your hand right now and just take that sickness away. Move it right out, Lord. Maybe the doctors don't even know what it is, but they've said what it could be. And I just pray that that sickness would move right out of their body. Move that mountain, oh God. Only because you are good. Only because you are powerful. Only because you want glory from it, God. Extend your mighty hand. Extend your mighty hand. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So someone else receives a word, man, bring it. Let's hear what God wants to say. Maybe he wants to raise someone else's faith. Thank you, Jesus. So we've all got homework, right? 3 weeks. Set aside time. Not to worry and fret, but to really pray about it. To move mountains. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation. Waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high,
we pray.
And it's you.
True.